Has your life been feeling stormy lately? We've got a special message just for you.
Plus, we have inspiring music from Hope Harmonies and a powerful devotional thought from John Bradshaw.
Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to another brand new hope-filled episode of Wake Up With Hope.
That's right. Fall is quickly coming to an end and winter is rapidly approaching. Mm-hmm. Maybe it feels like winter already where you are. Has it snowed yet in your part of the world? We would love to see what our viewers everywhere are seeing. Send us a picture message on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and let us into your piece of the world.
Yes. Well, your parents live in Michigan.
Yep.
And it's snowing there.
That's right.
It's snowing already. Well, we hope you will be blessed by today's program. You know, have you ever felt like you just want to go home? Well, today's musical message prepared by Hope Harmonies is especially for you. So don't miss it. But before we go there, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1941, at 7:55 a.m. Hawaii time, a Japanese dive bomber bearing the red symbol of the rising sun of Japan on its wings appeared out of the clouds above the island of Oahu. A swarm of 360 Japanese warplanes followed, descending on the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor in a ferocious attack. The surprise attack struck a critical blow against the U.S. Pacific Fleet and drew the United States irrevocably into World War II. Though President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his advisors knew that a Japanese attack was imminent, nothing had been done to increase security at this naval base, and many military personnel were off base.
The result was catastrophic. The principle here lies true today. Be prepared for the worst. Be prepared even for war. As Christians, the Bible has warned us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we have an enemy, Satan, who roars like a lion, seeking to utterly destroy us. So what are we doing to be prepared? Are we ready for war? God has given us the weapons for victory. In Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us the secret armor that we need to put on to be victorious against our ultimate enemy. Clinging to the Word of God, having faith in Jesus, living in righteousness, pursuing heavenly things, clinging to prayer and truth, and sharing our Savior with others. When we do all that, Satan cannot stand against us.
Amen. Can we learn anything from Loma Linda, the place where people live the longest? I think so. Yeah. This morning, our friends at Livit are sharing how a simple remedy, such as water, can reduce our chances of having a deadly heart attack. I'm all ears.
Think about how much water you drink in a typical day.
Would you drink more water if you knew it would reduce your risk of heart disease by half?
About 40% of people in this country die of cardiovascular disease. So it is a serious disease that develops over many, many years. And the good news is it is preventable.
Heart disease is caused when any blockage in your arteries keeps the heart from receiving enough blood.
The buildup of plaque can result from risk factors like smoking, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure.
This Loma Linda University health study followed 34,000 Californians over 15 years.
Both men and women who drank 5 or more glasses of water per day had about half the risk of dying of coronary heart disease.
And that's the simple tip for the day.
Drink at least 5 glasses of water every day to lower your risk for heart disease.
You can spice it up with some lemon, lime, or orange slices.
Herbal teas without sugar have also shown a similar effect on lowering your risk of heart disease.
But remember, drinks like juice and soda are high in sugar and won't give us the benefit of lowering your risk of heart disease.
There's your simple tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Have you ever read the story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee and pictured yourself right there in the middle of the boat? That's what Rembrandt the painter did, quite literally. But why did he paint himself as a disciple of Christ in the storm? Find out on today's Master Stroke episode.
The 1633 masterpiece, Storm on the Sea of Galilee, was stolen in 1990. It's never been found. If you enter the Boston Museum today, all you'll see is the eerie sight of an empty frame. This painting is based on the story of Jesus and his 12 disciples sailing on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus goes down the back of the boat and decides to have a sleep. But then a huge storm hits.
And I've got hope in my hands. Please keep me warm.
One of the most intriguing aspects of this painting is that Rembrandt has painted himself on the boat. It's as if he's an extra disciple. Now, he's not the guy vomiting over the side here. He's the one holding onto the rope with one hand and his hat with the other. Meanwhile, the disciples go down the back of the boat to wake up Jesus. Why did Rembrandt paint himself on the boat? After all, isn't this a story about Jesus and the disciples? And why was he holding on for grim life? Like many of us, Rembrandt went through plenty of storms in his life. Three of his four children died. Then his wife died. Then his mother died. Then he went bankrupt. Everything was gone. It's no wonder he's holding on. Rembrandt may have been one of the greatest painters in history, but his life was also one of the most tumultuous. I love the timing of this painting. It's painted at the time of crisis. Jesus has just woken up. What no one knows is what happens next. Jesus rose to his feet and he told the waves and wind, "Peace be still." Everything returns to calm, and those in the boat say, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Maybe you're going through rough seas today. You feel as if your life is falling apart. The message I take from this painting is this: hold on and don't let go, because Jesus is in the boat with you. You may not know it, but soon Jesus will stand to his feet and say, "Peace be still."
Open my hands. Please give me one.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on our YouTube channel and keep up with us. Well, we have to take a short break now, but when we return, Hope Harmonies will inspire us with music and peaceful nature scenes. And later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be sharing an inspiring devotional thought. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Do you long for heaven? If only you could get just a little closer. Well, the Micronesian island of Palau has heavenly nature scenes, and yet, even here, there is still pain and problems. No matter where you go in this world of sin, you will find beauty, but you will also see brokenness. The message of this upcoming song, "Take Me Home," from Sivasa Laupati of Hope Harmonies, points to the reality that this world is not our home. God has something even better in store for us.
But even in my blood.
has led me through an endless maze. Treasures in my grasp were there in time, but they quickly slipped away. Jesus is the answer. I found me on myself, and now I know that all my hope is found in Him and nothing else. In His arms of shelter, this world is not my home. Hear your children, Father, you is where we belong at home. Take me home, 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 take me home. The day is drawing nearer when our Jesus will return. Lots of my lessons, it's only I feel my Jesus. There has always been this feeling that I don't belong. The comforts of this world has blinded me to the rest that I deserve. Jesus is the answer.
Amen. Thank you so much for that beautiful song.
And if you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup. Search for us on YouTube as well. Check out our channel and keep up with us there also. When we return, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share a thoughtful message from the Bible with us. Welcome back to our morning program. How are you enjoying our program this morning? We would love to hear from you. Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is here with us today to share an inspiring message.
It is great to see you. I hope your day has started well. I'm delighted we have a few moments together, and I think we're going to be encouraged together, both you and me, as we consider something that you can apply practically to your life. Are you going through a trial right now? Think about it. Are you? If you're not, you know somebody who is. And trials can be brutal. They can also be very, very discouraging if we allow them to be. It might be a physical trial, an illness, a disease, something that the doctors aren't giving you any hope about. That can be a real trial. No way to sugarcoat that. It might be a financial trial. Maybe things at work aren't going great. You might have lost your job. Maybe your business or your practice is suffering a loss or going through a lean time right now. There might be unpredictability in your line of work, and that can be a real trial. So trials can take on many forms. You might be in a relationship and experiencing that the bottom is falling out of it. You've done everything you can, but the other person isn't doing everything the other person can. Man, those trials are real. They are difficult. And trials can discourage people to the extent that they lose their faith. Just a couple of days ago, I spoke with a young lady who told me about a time in her life when she went through a very trying time and figured that God had abandoned her, and so she walked away from God. It didn't work out well for her, and before long she was back and she's doing great today. But that's what people will do. Give up on faith, give up on God, act as though Jesus never walked the earth because of a trial. The book of Job is really all about the trial one man went through. Now, in a broader form, it's about that great battle between good and evil that takes place behind the veil. We don't see it. It was what was going on in the background of maybe the foreground of Job's experience. And Job went through this almost life-destroying trial, and he called out to God and he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Now that's powerful. That's prescriptive for us. We are called to trust, even though trials can be difficult and life can seem unfair. We are to trust in the middle of trials. Now, it may seem that what I'm about to say to you is just a little too neat and tidy, and maybe a little convenient, particularly if you're going through something really difficult. But I want to share this with you anyway. In the west of the United States, when the drought was bad, and it's bad, the lake level, or the level of Lake Mead, which feeds ultimately through the Hoover Dam, plunged precipitously. Very bad state of affairs. But interestingly, as Lake Mead started to drop, certain things were seen that had been hidden from the human eye. Formations, some of them very beautiful. Old cars. Did I hear dead bodies were found? Things that were dumped into Lake Mead in the hope that Lake Mead would never reveal its secrets. But when that trying time came, when the drought came, things were seen that were otherwise hidden. Rivers in Europe, owing to the drought in Europe, river levels dropping in one place, warships, sunken warships were revealed. People knew they were there, but folks never saw them, and they were largely forgotten by almost everybody. And now they're seen in the light of day, because the drought caused the water level to recede, and now things are being seen that weren't seen. And trials can be just like that. Trials can reveal things in your life that you thought were hidden or hoped that nobody would see. And so God does us a favor in allowing trials to come. It might be that you simply have a bad attitude, but when things are going well, it's easy enough to have a positive attitude. The minute the rain clouds start to gather, the minute something goes not according to your plan, that's when you change and metamorphose into something that you would rather people didn't see. Well, it's not my fault. No. It is your fault, because you and I are both ultimately responsible for our actions. And it's easy to be happy when the weather is fine and you find a parking spot right by the front door of the place that you're going. That's easy. Anybody can do that. But what happens when the weather isn't good and there isn't any parking? And you know I'm using that just as an example. What happens when your foundation is shaken? Do you really trust God? Are you really a Christian, or are you just a moralist? You like to run with the Christian crowd. It's good for your image to be seen to be a Christian. Are you that? Maybe Christianity doesn't go all the way to the core for you. Maybe it's just something on the surface. And when you scratch away the veneer, when a trial rips away the veneer, maybe it's seen that what is beneath the surface isn't everything that should be there. Maybe that's why James wrote these interesting words. We pick it up in James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 2. He wrote, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let me ask you a challenging question. Might I do that? When was the last time a trial came and you turned in God's direction and said, "Thank you for this trial"? When was the last time a trial came into your life, and I mean something significant, not being able to park in your favored parking space? When did a trial come to your life and you said, "I consider this a joy"? It's really easy to get confused about what Christianity really is. Christianity is about far more than ascribing or subscribing to a certain set of doctrines or theological tenets. Anybody can do that. It's not hard to read the Bible and say, "Oh yeah, that's right. This theory is correct. This teaching is accurate." That's not hard at all. It doesn't make you a Christian. What demonstrates your Christianity, what reveals your Christianity, are things such as how you react under pressure, how you react when your safety net disappears from beneath your feet, how you react when somebody does you wrong. Just today I was told about somebody, a woman who was in a really bad domestic situation. She planned to escape. So as she got money, she gave it to a friend. And she said, "You hang on to that, be like my bank. I can't open a bank account to do this because that will be found out. So you take the money, would you do that?" And sure enough, week after week, money was given to the trusted friend. And then the time came and she contacted her friend and she said, "This is it, I'm on my way, I'm gonna run now, I'm gonna go to safety, I've got some money put aside, may I have my money?" You know how the story ends, don't you? The money was not there. The friend had to say, "I'm sorry, but I spent it all." That's a betrayal. How would you act if something like that were to happen to you? Those trials reveal what's beneath the surface. So if there's a trial in your life and it's revealing what's beneath the surface and you don't like what you see, thank God for that. And take that to God and say, "Thanks for showing me what I really am. Make me what I really ought to be." Great to see you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Pastor John.
Amen. And thank you, friends, for watching Wake Up with Hope today. And don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We will have a special feature on puppies. And we'll also introduce you to sweet paradise. We can't wait to see you tomorrow. If you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed to help you begin or refresh your relationship with Jesus.
We want to make sure you didn't miss that. That's hope.study. You will be blessed and very encouraged.
We hope you have a wonderful Wednesday, friends.
Amen. And before we go, we have a Bible promise for you today. Today's Bible promise comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33.
It says, "Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy."
That's a faithful promise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
praise
very
the Lord.
Faithful.
Follow his path and his will, and you will live a life full of his peace and hope.
Amen. That's a promise. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we get started with this day, there's a path before us. And it's going to have, at times, different detours and left turns or right turns. And Lord, we're going to need you to stay with us, stay close to us, to show us the way that we should go, whether to the left or to the right. As we make decisions today, Lord, we pray that you would be right there to speak with that still small voice. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration we received today. It gives us courage to face this day with hope. And we thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.